The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently minus 13 degrees and sunny in Montreal. I'm Juliette Palin, and here are today's headlines. Many non-essential businesses are opening their doors today in Quebec for the first time in 2021. Ottawa residents are taking advantage of relaxed COVID restrictions across the border in Quebec to get a haircut, and some Canadians are feeling especially anxious about this year's upcoming tax season. The latest COVID-19 numbers have just been released by the Quebec government. The province has now lost over 10,000 lives over the course of this pandemic. Yesterday, over 850 cases were confirmed and a further two deaths. That brings the total of number of cases close to 271,000. In addition, over 1,500 people were vaccinated. In other coronavirus updates, some non-essential businesses in Quebec are reopening their doors today. In red zones, shops, museums, and libraries have opened and outdoor gatherings of four people are allowed. But the curfew stays the same. In orange zones, restaurants have reopened their dining rooms, gatherings of eight people are now allowed, and the curfew has been pushed back to 9:30 p.m. Although Quebecers have been eager to get back to normal, some experts question whether or not these new freedoms will benefit our case numbers in the long run. Dr. Matthew Unton is an assistant professor at McGill University in the Department of Medicine. He is concerned about the spread of COVID-19 in Montreal. He says he is worried that looser restrictions in schools will lead to more spread of the virus.
I'm arguing that I think we should do, rather than relaxing right now, this is our chance to double down, really get this under control when it comes to schools.
That was Dr. Matthew Unton from the Department of Medicine at McGill. Canada's capital region is living two different realities when it comes to COVID restrictions. Ottawa's barbershops remains closed, but people can still get haircuts simply by crossing the river into Quebec. Our reporter, Bogdan Litvinenko, has more.
It takes less than 5 minutes to cross the bridge into Gatineau, Quebec, where hair salons are reopening today. Many non-essential businesses in the city are allowed to open their doors for the first time since December 25th. This includes barbershops, personal care services, clothing stores, and museums. The first day back has been very busy for barbers, including an Elle et Louis salon employee, Marc Pelletier.
We've honestly been overwhelmed this morning. We're fully booked this entire week, actually. For example, today I already served two people from Ottawa. You know, it was actually their first time here since they have no other choice. They've got across provinces to get a haircut. It's certainly great for our business, clearly, but ideally the entire region should be on the same page. We're so close to each other after all.
The current rules put Ottawa's hair salons at a great disadvantage, including Silver Fox Barbershop, located just 1.6 kilometers away from Gatineau. The salon's owner, Aldo Montemurro, is not happy with these circumstances.
So it's certainly unfair because we know, you know, haircut is an essential service in our eyes. Makes people feel good, makes them feel better about themselves. So we're kind of not impressed that Gatineau gets to open before us. And now this is the second time because prior to the first lockdown, they were allowed to reopen 2 weeks before the hair salons in the Ottawa market were allowed to. So it's absolutely frustrating for sure.
Montemurro and other barbershop owners in Ottawa will have to wait until such restrictions are lifted in the province. Ontario Premier Doug Ford will announce the first stage of reopening at 1 o'clock today. For Concordia News, I'm Bogdan Litvinenko.
Quebec Premier François Legault has said that as of today, universities in Quebec have the option to gradually begin reopening their campuses. Anna Justin has some students' reactions.
Concordia University student Sarah Seagram lives alone in a studio apartment in Montreal. She used to have roommates, but moved out at the beginning of the pandemic to self-isolate. Sarah is immunocompromised and takes no risks. She feels passionately that Legault's decision to gradually begin reopening campuses is dangerous for Quebecers.
As soon as you give college students a little bit of leeway to do what they want during this pandemic, they're going to lose control altogether. Like, there's no way young adults are going to be like, okay, class and back to quarantine. I think they have unrealistic expectations of how safe students are going to be.
McGill University student Maya Harvey also disagrees with the government's decision, but is not surprised by it. She says that while current online learning situations are not ideal, they are necessary, and we've been making it work.
I understand it. I know that people are ready to get back into in-person classes, but like I said, we have a good system right now that has worked, and students are all over the world right now without plans to return, so I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Both McGill and Concordia have acknowledged the government's announcement. Concordia will continue online learning as planned, while also working to organize optional social activities. McGill will add some optional in-person activities to the mandatory few that exist already. For Concordia News, I'm Anna Justin.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has come to an agreement with the country's main airlines. He is suspending non-essential travel to Mexico and the Caribbean. For people still traveling, new restrictions have been put in place in an effort to limit the spread of COVID-19. Nicole Alexakis reports.
Justin Trudeau has announced that WestJet, Sunwing, Air Canada, and Air Transat have suspended their flights down south until April 30th, 2021. Organized return travel for those currently abroad will be in effect immediately. International passengers' flights will be arriving and departing from the four main international Canadian airports, Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver. Travelers must provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours before their scheduled departure time. Upon return to Canada, travelers must remain at a government-approved hotel at their own expense while they await further test results. If the arrival test is negative, people must then complete their 14-day quarantine at home. Ana Rubio is an international student at Concordia University. Rubio was planning on going back home to Cancun, Mexico for her sister's wedding in March, but she is worried about taking an American flight because she would have to do a layover in the U.S. airport, and she's concerned about COVID-19 numbers.
And there's also like the whole expenses of coming back and doing the whole self-quarantine on the hotel. That's like at least $2,000, which is crazy. Like, no one has that money right now.
Maggie Sudopakis is a travel agent who works at the Travel Edge. Although her business relies on sending people all over the world and to sunny destinations, she's actually recommending people rethink their travel plans.
I don't personally trust traveling right now. I personally wouldn't. I'd wait for a while until things got better, and no need to quarantine once you arrive at your destination and then once again when you arrive back home. So I would wait at least another year before I personally started to travel.
Nicole Alexakis, Concordia News, Montreal.
Turning now to international news, as of today, Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda, has been removed from the complete lockdown that they have been under for the past month. Our reporter, Michelle Malnasi, has more. As you'll hear from her report, it's the rainy season in Kigali, and you can hear the storm outside Michelle's window.
Stores have opened and traveling between Kigali and the neighborhoods near the city are now allowed. However, there is still a curfew which starts at 8 p.m. and large gatherings are still prohibited. While this is a good sign, this still leaves business owners like Claude Gassamajeda uneasy about what is to come. He and his wife own an event planning and decorating company. Before the first lockdown in March 2020, they organized conferences in Kigali, governmental events, private events, and decorated outdoor areas throughout the city. During the peak wedding season, they could be responsible for up to 3 weddings each weekend. But now, they are significantly less busy as all conferences are now online and weddings can only have 30 guests who are close family members, which is a stark difference compared to traditional Rwandan weddings, which usually have hundreds of guests. Esmajera says that when it comes to the decorating jobs they have, it was mostly revolved around international conferences that would take place in Kigali. He also says that they have a very limited amount of weddings as both sides of the family would want to be involved in the wedding, which often would surpass the permitted amount. All stores were closed during the complete lockdown, which prohibited them from getting the equipment they needed for decorating. When it comes to the future of the business, Gassamajeda says that it's still up in the air. He says that they can't start planning any future projects as he doesn't know when the pandemic will end. If things don't change in the next 3 months, he says that they'll need to find a new project to work on. For Concordia News, this is Michelle Malnasi.
Back in Canada, companies are sending out their T4 slips and people are getting ready for the April 30th tax deadline. the government is encouraging taxpayers to plan ahead this year in order to avoid delays. Our reporter, Gabriele Zambito, has more. Hi, Gabriele. So, how are you feeling about this tax season?
Hi, Juliet. Well, after speaking with Mike Caticchio, who's both a corporate and a personal accountant, he says that most of his clients are feeling confused and apprehensive about this rather unique upcoming tax season. Other government programs that are taxable and related to specific industries in the economy, like restaurants or businesses, those have been done before. So people are already informed on this matter. But nothing quite like the Canada Emergency Response Act has ever been done. So that's reason for many's apprehension. Sophia Murrow, for example, is a college student and she lost her job as a waitress due to the pandemic. She, like many other students, have been collecting CERB money from the government and they are concerned about how much money they're going to have to pay back.
I had to use some of the money to pay for like rent, groceries, my car also, but I tried to keep some aside to be able to pay back like whatever the amount is. But even if it's, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 that I have to give back on what I got, like, it's going to be a lot of money to just give out like that, you know, the day I have to pay my income tax.
That was Sophia Murrow. And she also says that all the different things she's been hearing from different people doesn't really help put her at ease this coming tax season.
So what will people's biggest concern this year be when it comes to paying their taxes?
Well, Caticchio says that students and young people are the ones struggling the most and that CERB will be their biggest concern. Given that most students and young people are part-time workers, they would normally fall under a relatively low tax bracket. But the CERB that they've collected may be enough to make them jump up a tax bracket and pay more than what they are used to. He recognizes that this is a big deal for people who may not be financially stable and are actually more used to receiving money from the government rather than
paying. For us accountants, these are like petty issues. They're not big deals, right? But for people who are struggling and people who need every dime they could get right now, these days with the pandemic, it makes a big deal not knowing whether you're going to have to pay back the money the government gave you or not.
And that was Mike Caticchio. He also projects that essential workers can expect to pay more taxes than workers that were simply laid off and left to collect CERB. While everyone can expect to pay different amounts depending on their income and depending on the period of time they collected CERB, he says that overall, those that did collect it can expect to pay anywhere between 20 and 40% of their total earnings.
Thank you, Gabriele.
Thank you.
And that was our reporter, Gabriele Zambito. Last week, SpaceX's second high-altitude test flight crashed. Amanda DeFillo is here to tell us more. Hi, Amanda. Could you tell us what happened this past week?
Oh, hi. Yeah, Julia. Gladly. Well, this past week in Cameron County, Texas, Elon Musk's S9 Starship prototype rocket was successfully launched. Unfortunately, much like its predecessor, S8, it did explode. It actually crashed upon impact when one of its three engines did not ignite on time. Starship, as many people might know, is a designated Mars mission spacecraft, which means eventually it should be able to carry about 100 passengers safely towards its destination.
Awesome. And so what does this mean in regards to future launches?
Well, there's actually already been talk about SN10. It's actually supposedly already in the works. In fact, there's already been mentions of a launch day pretty soon. Supposedly, Elon Musk wants to launch as soon as possible. Some people even said SN10 was already in the works prior to SN8's crash. And it seems pretty likely because everything is moving so quickly. The mentions of SN10 came immediately after the crash of SN9. So it seems like things are marching forward. Today, we spoke to a mechatronics student about this. Francois Martin shares his outlook with us.
This is actually kind of important because Starship is one of the larger ships. And with that, that means space tourism or space exploration is going to seem less like a far-fetched sci-fi idea and much more like a real explorable reality.
So when is SpaceX predicting to travel Mars? To travel to Mars, my bad.
According to Elon Musk and SpaceX website, the set date is 2026, but they could expect a launch as early as 2024 if everything goes accordingly. How we're seeing things move, it could go either way, honestly.
All right. Thanks, Amanda. That was our reporter, Amanda DeFillo. That was our Canadian singer-songwriter, The Weeknd, performing at last night's Super Bowl halftime show. But he wasn't the only Canuck present. For the second year in a row, a Quebecer became a Super Bowl champ. Notre-Dame-des-Pins native Anthony Auclair made Quebecers smile after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the coveted Vince Lombardi Trophy with a score of 31-9. The town is located in the Beauce region, approximately 100 kilometers south of Quebec City. They showed their support for Université de Laval grad with a banner hung alongside the highway. Auclair joins the shortlist of Canadians with championship rings, including Laurent Devin-Tardif, who won the Kansas City Chiefs last year. For the halftime show, the only reason I watch sports, The Weeknd also got a helping hand from a Canadian company. Montreal-based PixMob specializes in wireless lighting and provided 22,000 LED wristbands for the audience. Their tech has made appearances during the last few Super Bowls, including last year's performance by Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. That's your 11 to 30 news. Thanks for listening. From Concordia News, I'm Juliet Palin.